Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week, we've actually got quite a bit of stuff to talk about.
We do.
We have
to talk fast.
We got to talk about the movies, of course, because we have movies happening.
There's some movies.
Kind of a slow week.
Yeah.
It's kind of a small week. It's odd for being first full
summer.
Weekend in June.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is historically when they released Hostel 2.
Well, there you go.
In 2007 or something like that.
Okay.
Anyways, we're going to be talking about The Purge, which is not at all about eating.
Which is unfortunate, because it would fit a lot better on the show if it were.
I would have liked to have binged before I saw The Purge. Mm. I could have been saying, hey, I binged and purged.
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't. We're also going to talk about The Internship. You can search Google for The Internship.
Nice.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. We're also going to talk a little bit about The Stories We Tell, which is a documentary that's in limited release.
Yes.
And some DVDs and Blu-rays. And I'm going to cough in your ear because I'm sick. Anyways, I got a summer cold. This happens. I blame your child.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's her fault.
Even though I haven't seen your child in months.
No, I'm pretty sure it's her fault.
But it's her fault, yep. I'm sure. Yeah, some DVDs and Blu-rays. And now, but before we start, I'm actually not going to do a victory dance today because of my cold.
See, here's the thing, though.
Yes.
I find it really interesting looking at your notes on this week's box office.
Yeah.
Because you have yourself down at $50 million for Fast and Furious 6 and me down for $54
million. Isn't that what you said?
No.
Oh, was that backwards?
Yes, it is.
Really?
And you spent a lot of time harassing me on last week's show about, well, you're just going to have to hope that Fast and Furious 6 is really light, blah, blah, blah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
So.
Oh, no, you said, oh, you know what it is?
I said 45.
That's what it is. My handwriting's really bad.
So I'm just saying here.
I'm still declaring victory.
You know, I was pretty sure that you did that on purpose and were just hoping that I wouldn't notice.
No.
But.
It's an honest mistake. I got terrible handwriting.
Yeah, okay.
Here, look, you can even see, I even have my notes from last week. You can see there, my dollar sign looks like a 5.
I don't even know what that says. That doesn't make any sense at all to me.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. That is my own code. That is how I continue to declare victory.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I am way too classy to do a victory dance.
Okay. No, you should.
So,
I think you should do a victory dance.
No, I'm not going to do it because you know why?
We don't have a stripper pole installed.
You would like it way too much. So, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
But I did win. Just for the record.
Anyways.
In fact.
Well, yes. Well,
I am going to declare victory on two things this week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What was your other victory?
Not only did Fast and Furious 6 bring in $35
million. Yeah.
But number two was Now You See Me over After Earth.
Did you predict that? Or are you just, that's just your declaring
just
victory
because
you hate M. Night Shyamalan?
No, because the two of us last week, we had this discussion that we had to choose which one we would see. And I picked Now You See Me over After Earth.
It wasn't because I thought
just
it,
saying.
I didn't think it was, not that I thought it would be good. I ended up going to see After
Earth. No, I'm just saying that, you know, you thought that After Earth was going to be the more important movie. And
it sparked more discussion. We'll just say that.
That's true.
More people asked me about After Earth than did about Now You See Me. Anyways, I went and saw Now You See Me. I thought it was a decent film.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It was, I mean, it wasn't.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't terribly unpredictable.
But, you know, from what I hear, it's quite a bit better than After Earth.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, it was Fast and Furious 6 and then Now You See Me After Earth. And it was actually kind of a horse race because Now You See Me beat After Earth on Friday, which was kind of, that was the, I mean, the first indicator was the movie itself that it wasn't going to do well. But this was an early indicator that After Earth was going to have a very soft box office because it got beaten by – and this is, of course, how the Hollywood press will spin it is they'll say even though it had names in it, it had Morgan Freeman was a big name, Michael Caine, Jesse Eisenberg, who
Woody
has
Harrelson.
An Oscar nomination.
Yeah, sure.
And that – but there was really no box office draw name. There was no Brad Pitt to it.
No, and there was no – star. It was an ensemble.
It was not something that, yeah, that's right. But it also wasn't something that had anybody who really is known for opening a movie to a certain number.
Nope.
And being an, actually, I thought being an ensemble piece made it better because you were less inclined to be annoyed with anybody.
That's true.
Because
there were a few characters in there that you could have been annoyed with.
Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, and David Franco. Any one of them headlining a movie as the star can be annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ayla Fisher, yeah, she's pretty and all, but yeah, she was kind of just
She was terrible in there.
She was just there.
I felt bad for her. I'm like, who wrote your lines? Poor girl.
But yeah, here's what's interesting about, and then it was like Star Trek Into Darkness, epic, blah, blah, blah. And then somewhere there's this movie I can't even pronounce at number nine.
Number nine.
This Bollywood movie came in at number nine.
We were just looking at the box office numbers before we started the show, and I was like, hold on.
You're like, what is this?
What is this number nine? And I thought it was a joke, because sometimes Kevin puts random things in my notes.
That's true, I do.
And I was like, is that like some weird pronunciation of some other movie that came in? And, oh, no.
Nope.
It's a Bollywood movie at number nine.
A real honest-to-God Bollywood movie.
There you have it.
But what's interesting about this whole thing with After Earth hitting number three, we haven't gotten international box office. This could have a little bit of saving in international, kind of like Battleship or John Carter.
Nice.
But this is an unmitigated disaster on all fronts from a domestic looking at it, from a domestic view.
It's pretty weak. We'll just say that.
Yeah. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're talking a little bit about what happened with After Earth. And I guess the big question is, what's interesting about it, this is the lowest Will Smith opening since 7 Pounds, which was saved for two reasons. Mm-hmm. For international box office, because it didn't do well domestically. And also the budget wasn't very big. It was like a $30 million movie. After Earth was $130 million.
Right.
Little bit different here. This is also the lowest opening for an M. Night Shyamalan movie since Lady in the Water, which was, what, 6-7 years ago?
Mm. Yep.
And that was at $18 million. And it is the only Shyamalan opening that is lower than it was The Sixth Sense in its original run.
Right. And we all know what happened with that.
Yeah. That one ended up having legs. This one won't.
No.
No, because he broke them, or he broke one of them. Will Smith did. But here's a question. Who's to blame? Whenever there's a bomb or disappointment, because we talk about that with Star Trek, who's to blame? Why was this not a hit? Aside from the fact that it was a terrible movie.
Well, there's that, I would say. It's a terrible, terrible movie. And it is one of those things that even looking at the trailers, you're like, I don't think so. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week. I posted the question on Facebook and asked, okay, I have these two movies screening at the same time. Which one would you choose?
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, people chose Now You See Me.
Yeah.
And there was one comment. I actually went back and looked at it this week. It was from one of our listeners, Stephen C., who even posted later. He said, you know, I had totally forgotten that that was an M. Night Shyamalan movie. And
there you go.
And because of that, I would stay even farther away from it. So,
there you go. we love Stephen C., although he does like his fair share of crap. That is true.
I'm just saying.
But
this was his comment, and I totally agreed with it.
What's interesting is I got a friend, Scott Mendelson, who works for Forbes. He writes for Forbes, and he did a couple entries. One of the things he is pointing out to say is that he doesn't actually think this is – as much as there's a lot of ire for Shyamalan, he doesn't have that really solid bomb except for Lady in the Water that nobody really remembers.
Well, and The Last Airbender.
Yeah, but that made money.
It made money, but it was terrible.
It was awful.
Famously horrible.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows that. And that was one of those things that everybody's like, oh, Shyamalan. Mm. And that, it's true. I mean, it used to be, M. Night Shyamalan presents this movie. And now, not so much anymore.
Yeah. And on a way, I mean, I even said this last week. I said, I don't totally blame Shyamalan. I mean, I blame him for the movie because he was the director. It's your project. You know, do a decent job for crying out loud.
Mm.
But it's not his fault in the marketing because there's a lot of people who didn't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who didn't know.
And I think,
he did this.
You know, in the Forbes article, he made an interesting point saying, you know, if you go out there and say from the director of The Sixth Sense, people aren't going to, you know, the average person isn't going to think, oh, yeah, but he also did Lady in the Water.
Yeah. No one remembers that movie because no one saw it.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's only the people like us who pay attention to those things and are permanently scarred by things like that that remember that. So, you know, if you say, hey, this guy directed The Sixth Sense, people might come out and see it.
Well, and the other thing is, I think it's more a showing that Jaden Smith can't carry a movie. It worked for The Karate Kid to a degree.
It was a kid's movie.
Yeah.
You know, it was a family movie then. It's a little bit different.
But Will Smith did an interview with, was it Movie Phone? And he made the point, and this is, I believe, he talked about this before the movie came out. He did say, well, it had to be a blockbuster, which it's not. So this is gonna impact his son way more than it's gonna impact him. But also he's talking about, well, I kinda wanna get away from doing the big blockbusters. Well, he kinda did a little early on this one.
Yeah.
So whoa, my gosh, we gotta go to a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about The Purge.
There's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. I was just reminded by my wonderful co-host, Kristen Dreyer Kramer, that we didn't even tell you who we were.
Hi.
We told you who we were. You didn't tell you how to get in touch with us. We were so enamored with talking about the colossal failure of M. Night Shyamalan and Jaden Smith that we totally lost sight of how you can get in touch with us to tell us how wrong we were.
No, they're going to tell us how right we are.
That's right. If you want to send us an email, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com or you can go to facebook.com/FGATM. If you want to yell at me on Twitter, which a lot of people do lately, you can go to twitter.com/Kevin Carr.
And I'm Katie K. Reviews.
That's right. All right. Enough talk about bad movies. Let's talk about a just okay movie.
Well, there's a step up.
It's a down week in summer. What can you expect? We're going to talk about The Purge, which stars Ethan Hawke and Lena Headey, who I always want to say Lena Headey.
Something like that.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
She was in 300.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one woman who wasn't like a Roman prostitute.
Right.
In 300. Wow.
Moving right along.
Let's talk about the movie. Okay. In a not-too-distant future, American society lets one night of violence erupt in which all crime is allowed, and one family tries to survive the night.
Tonight allows people a release for all the hatred and violence that they keep up inside them.
This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge. At the siren, your government thanks you for your participation.
Help me!
Our target for this year's purge is hiding in your home. You have 1 hour to find him and give him to us, or we'll kill all of you.
Okay, so I'm going to start out with my grade for this one.
Yes.
I am giving it a preemptive suck.
Okay.
Because it didn't screen here.
No.
And this was one of those things that Kevin, he sometimes is such a glutton for punishment that he will drive 4 hours to see a movie. And sometimes,
yeah,
you know.
I did. Well, and what's odd about this is, a little bit of inside baseball for people. We're in Columbus, Ohio. Usually Universal movies screen.
Mm-hmm.
This one did not.
Which is strange.
Or indicative of things.
There's that, too.
It's a horror movie. Now, like, when they released Mama in January, mm-hmm. when Universal released Mama, they didn't screen it.
No.
There tends to be, studios are less inclined to screen genre-level horror movies.
It's true. We don't get a lot of horror movies screened.
And here's the thing with The Purge is, plays like a horror movie, but it is multiple movies.
Interesting.
Okay? If there's a lot of things that reminded me of, and other people I talked to, of The Strangers, mm-hmm. another Universal release.
Yep.
That came out like 5 years ago.
Something like that,
with
yeah.
Liv Tyler mm-hmm. and Scott Speedman, and they're being terrorized by people with masks.
Right.
And so this kind of has that same sort of thing. These people locked in a house, and there's people with masks out front wanting to get in to hurt them. The only thing is it's really more of a speculative thriller is the best way to describe it because
okay.
it falls into speculative fiction and mm-hmm. sort of like, well, what would happen if?
Yep.
And the whole thing being there's this 12 hours from 7 o'clock at night to 7 a.m., all crime is allowed. And they say, even murder. You don't even say that.
Well. So you know.
Yeah, and it's in a response to declining morality in society and declining economy. And then it really hits you over the head with these political messages of, well, it's, you know, it's just an excuse to kill the homeless. It's just an excuse to get rid of the dead weight in society. Hmm. And it's almost like a religious sacrifice. And my biggest problem with this is that won't happen in 8 years. 8 or 9 years. Because this explains,
which is where the movie's set, yeah.
Yeah, 2022.
Yeah, I can't say that I see that happening in the near future.
I mean, like, Hunger Games worked because it's in this indeterminate future and you've got generations living,
mm-hmm.
and that's the society they are now used to. But there's like Ethan Hawke has a teenage daughter who I'm assuming she's probably 25, the actress, but
right.
the character's like 16, and mm-hmm. in this she's wearing like a schoolgirl. This is things I of course notice.
Really,
she's wearing this schoolgirl outfit with the plaid skirt, the bobby, and the white socks, and nice. I'm like, did she just walk off the set of a porno movie or out of a strip club? So I mean, it's odd. But the thing is, she would have been 6 or 7,
right? About when, now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she's okay. She's passively okay with it. She's kind of like, oh, Dad, I'm going to go to my room and be miserable. But it's not that she's miserable that people are getting murdered out in the street. She's miserable because she couldn't see her boyfriend.
Oh.
So very, very teenage girl kind of thing.
Nice.
But it turns into this home invasion thriller, which it has some moments at work.
Okay.
Kind of like a David Goyer directed movie
mm-hmm.
where there's scenes in amongst themselves that work, that are effective, but kind of taken together as a whole, it's kind of this blobby mess.
Blobby mess.
Yeah.
I can catch
you. So I'm going to have to give it a kind of sucks.
Okay.
You know, I think horror fans might like it, but yeah, it's not great.
Okay. Kind of sucks.
You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're going to talk a little bit about the concept behind The Purge, because I actually find the concept more interesting.
Okay.
Than the movie itself. Because part of the thing with the movie is like, they're like, oh, The Purge is like, oh, it's 5 minutes to 7. Let's lock up the house. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'd be locked up on the house at noon just yes. in case something went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, murder's the crime that you can do murder, but they never mention other more heinous crimes that would totally be happening. Just watch like Aftershock and
nice.
You'll see the other crimes that would happen.
Mm.
But I don't know. I mean, it just, part of it is it's trying to make that political statement
mm-hmm.
and it's so heavy handed with it.
Yeah.
But do you even think, what do you think of the premise? Is this something that even anybody in society would go with?
Well, I think even if, you know, you were talking about the Hunger Games and that's mm-hmm. one of those things. Yeah. It's so far into the future and it's become a way of life, but that doesn't mean that even then people are okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, even then, it's something that they're upset about and they fight against. And, you know, this is something that's supposed to take place a few years from now. And if people are just, you know, it's just how it is.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't seem to me to make any sense whatsoever.
Well, like you mentioned, the Hunger Games. In the Hunger Games, the only people that are really okay with the Hunger Games are the people in District 1 who are exempt from actually participating mm-hmm. in the Hunger Games. All the other outlying districts, they just have to suck it up and do it. They're mm-hmm. not into it.
Right.
They're just part of the process. But yeah, I think part of the thing is 95 to 98% of the population, even if given the opportunity to commit murder, wouldn't do it.
No.
They just plain wouldn't.
No, and I guess, you know, I haven't seen it, so I don't know exactly how it plays out. But yeah, it does seem a little bit ridiculous to me.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen movies like this, but I think if it would have been like 100 years in the future, I think it would work better as a movie.
If you make it a little more post-apocalyptic, maybe.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that you find in post-apocalyptic movies.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just kind of like, well, this is what we do now. And I'm like, there's nobody protesting this? Or are they the ones that, or even if they don't even like play to the fact of saying, well, the people who protested this when they first tried it were the first ones killed in the Purge.
There you go.
Or they even make a point, they say government officials are exempt in the movie. They make a point of that. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. The government, you'd have people in dissension in the government. That there is no totalitarian
system.
You would
think so, yeah.
Maybe that's what they're going for.
There you go.
The other thing is they're in a rich neighborhood, and he's like, oh, nothing ever happens here. I'm like, are you kidding me? At the very least, they'd break a couple flower pots. Anywho, I don't think The Purge survives on its concept.
Oh, there you go.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about the internship and stories we tell.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Nice. That was nice. We were just talking about The Purge, which we have decided is completely ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's actually a better movie than it should be.
Well, there you go.
For how ridiculous the plot is.
Okay. So now we're going to move on to something a little bit lighter, or at least
sure.
I hope so.
Now that we've seen it.
The next movie up this week is The Internship. Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson star as out-of-work salesmen competing against younger, smarter candidates for a Google internship.
You closed the company?
What about us? You're great salesmen, but it's too late for you guys. Everything's computerized, and you're dinosaurs.
And I'm going to say something harsh now.
Now you're going to say something harsh.
Nick, I got it. Google.
You got us a job at Google?
It was an interview for an internship that could lead to a job.
You're kidding, right?
They have more life experience than the age of most of our interns.
So there you have it.
I don't know what to say about this movie. You know what? I do know what to say. Because I finally watched the trailer.
Kevin always knows what to say. Don't let him fool you. He always knows what to say.
What's neat about Google is they actually don't have a ton of obnoxious advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do a search and you get the couple sponsored links and stuff on the side. But Google, for the last 10 or so years, mm-hmm. dozen years that they've really kind of been the king of the web,
yep.
they don't shove advertising in your face.
And perhaps that's part of the reason why they're at the top.
Unless there's a movie being made about them.
Hmm.
And I have a feeling this is going to be a 2-hour ad for Google.
It could be. Google is a fascinating company, though.
Yeah.
And I'd be okay with a 2-hour ad for Google because really? There have been documentaries on Google that are just really fascinating, just how they run the company and how it is to work there and just all of the quirky things they have there.
Is it like Pixar?
Kind of, yeah. They treat their employees quite well, from what I've heard.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing here? Let's go get a job at Google.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know that they'd let you wear those shorts at Google.
Hey, you're lucky. These are actually
the long shorts.
I didn't bring my booty shorts in. I could have brought my Agler shorts, the short like ones that kids wear in soccer games. I could have brought my semi-pro ones that Will Ferrell wore in that basketball movie.
I'm just saying.
I could be Larry Bird in here, and I could jump up and down.
You could.
You consider yourself lucky.
I'm just saying that they might have a little bit of a dress code, and we don't.
We don't have one,
and that's nice. A nice thing about our job.
Trust me, I've been dressed in worse than this.
Mm.
I've been to Walmart at 3 a.m. I know what I can wear and what I can't.
I'm not complaining about your wardrobe. I'm just making a point.
I'm wearing underwear.
There you go.
Not on my bottom side.
Nice. Oh, this has gotten way out of control really fast.
You're the one who brought up Google and their nasty discriminatory practices. Against people like me.
Okay, so anyway, this movie stars Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. And it's directed by the same guy who did Night at the Museum.
And Real Steel.
Yes, and also Date Night.
And he was the villain in Zombie Nightmare.
Well, then there's that. So what do you think about this one?
I don't know. I think they're trying to recreate the magic that happened with Wedding Crashers with a different director and not as an R-rated movie.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like that long commercial. Vince Vaughn's done this before. He did basically an Applebee's commercial with Couples Retreat.
Nice.
Or like, remember, he didn't. It wasn't Vince Vaughn, but Castaway. It was a giant commercial for FedEx.
Yes.
Except for the fact that FedEx crashes its plane and leaves our people on Desert Island.
It's true.
So.
But, you know, he gets back eventually.
Eventually.
After like 6 hours.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. I think this. I haven't seen it. We will see it. It's getting terrible reviews. It's right at about like 25% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Which usually is a good indication that a lot of people will see it. That's just one of those things. I mean, the worse the reviews are for a comedy like this, the more people go out and see it.
Sean Levy's success at the box office is usually inversely proportional to his Rotten Tomatoes score.
It's true. There are a lot of movies like this. You know, and it's in that group. You know, Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson. Throw in, you know, a few other actors that we know who make really bad comedies that they do well. Yeah. So
I think it'll do well this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm particularly not. I'll see it eventually.
Mm.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things. Owen Wilson makes a ton of movies, and he's remembered for very few.
It's true
that tend to do very well. Mm-hmm. Same thing for Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he's been under great directors doing terrible movies, like The Dilemma, which is directed by Oscar winner Ron Howard.
Yeah,
he won
that one. I'm sure he did at some point. I'm still trying to forget that movie, though. Let's just move on to something else.
Okay. Anyways, the internship gets a preemptive suck, and according to the rest of the critical world, it shares a real suck.
There you go.
So let's talk about box office. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, by the way, with Kevin Carr and Kirsten Dreyer Kramer.
Hello.
What do you think is going to win the box office?
You know, I'm feeling daring this week.
Okay. Do you want to write your thing down so that I don't...
Legibly.
I don't mix it up here?
You know, I think this week's going to be a tough one because it's a really slow week. And right now, everybody out there is saying that The Purge is going to win it. So just because of that, I'm going to give it to the internship.
Okay.
And I will say I'll give it 19.
19? Ooh, that's low. I'm going to go with the internship, and I'm going to say 28.
Okay.
Million.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these guys can carry a movie. They've done it before in the past, and they're both names that people respond to. There's really nothing else. I don't think The Purge is going to do well because it's R-rated.
Mm-hmm.
And R-rated horror thrillers tend not to do well in summer.
Yeah, you never know. So, I don't know. Everybody's talking about it. Oh, no, The Purge is going to win it this weekend, but I'm not buying it. So,
yeah. I mean, I think The Purge will do fine, but it's... The R rating is going to hurt it. It's Ethan Hawke who's coming off of Sinister help with that. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's going to see it because he did like After Midnight or whatever.
No.
But I don't know. Anyways, let's move on. There's another movie we got to talk about.
There is another movie.
Holy cow. How many movies do we have?
Whoa. Okay. Next up is Stories We Tell. Director Sarah Polley turns the camera on her showbiz family to explore her own true Hollywood story.
Wow. Mm. That was actually a really good blurb.
Oh, thank you.
You put that in TV Guide, if it existed.
Well, I guess if you could start by describing Mom in as much detail as possible.
My memory of Mom is she was a fun person at parties, that she laughed loud.
Michael was a private person, and Diane was not a private person. She yearned for more.
She was very warm, you know, full of life. But I do think it's really interesting to look at this one thing that happened and how it's refracted in so many different ways.
This is a tough movie.
Wow, you seem pained about this already.
I am pained about this.
Okay.
Because I know that I'm supposed to love this movie. It's one of those things that you look later and you look at what everybody else is saying and they're like, this is the greatest movie of the year.
Mm.
I do not think that it was the greatest movie of the year.
Do you like Sarah Polley as a director?
Generally.
Okay. Yeah, the only ones I know she did the...
She did Away From Her.
And Away From Her.
Mm-hmm.
And Take This Waltz, which I didn't see Take This Waltz.
Okay, I didn't either. But I saw Away From Her, and she did a wonderful job with it.
Mm.
And, you know, it was nominated for at least 2 Oscars for the screenwriting, and...
Yeah. I know it got a lot of, the smaller, Independent Spirit Awards.
Oh, yeah, it was big.
Okay.
So, and yeah, Sarah Polley is one of those directors that people have really latched on to.
Yeah.
And so this story, it's about her family, and it is really kind of a true Hollywood story.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, if it weren't her family, that, you know, they're actors and they're known in the business.
Well, it's the Hollywood of Canada.
Well, yeah. Toronto. And but I think if it weren't the family involved, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be such a remarkable story.
Yeah.
And I think one of the frustrating things, it's so self-conscious at times.
Yeah.
That, you know, she won't really say what she's feeling and she won't involve herself in it. So there are a lot of times when she's got her brothers talking. And he's like, well, from what you told me about what happened, this is how it played out.
Well, yeah, that's a touchy way to handle it because you don't want to infect the documentary with too much of you. And she's the subject.
Exactly. That's the problem. Yeah. She is the subject of this movie. It's all, you know, what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it really kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think?
We got about 10 seconds left.
Okay.
So we'll
pick that up later.
Give me your actual grade.
I'm going to say it kind of sucks.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Drawing the line in the sand for Sarah Polley. When we come back, you'll hear my take, and we'll talk to EVDs. Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kirsten Dreyer Kramer. I pushed Kirsten for a grade on this, but I have to give my take as well. Stories We Tell. First of all, you got to realize I identify Sarah Polley not by her directing because I wasn't a huge fan of Away From Her.
Yes.
I recognize her as the girl from Dawn of the Dead remake.
That's true.
And Splice.
Splice, yes.
Which is one of my favorite movies of 2009.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, number three.
Seriously.
My third favorite movie of 2009.
Seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved Splice.
That was like the worst movie ever made.
Loved Splice because it just, when it gets as bad as, because the screening we did, the lights went out.
Yes.
And it gets bad.
It gets really bad.
Have you seen afterwards?
Oh, yeah. I've seen what happens after that, and it's even worse.
And the people are like, that was terrible. And I'm like, oh, you wait till you see what happens afterwards.
Oh, no, it's terrible.
I love movies about scientists that are trying to do the right thing, and it just goes horribly wrong.
Such a horrible movie.
Anyways, I thought Stories We Tell was interesting.
It is.
Because of how she paces it.
Okay.
And if you know what the story, and this is why we kind of have to be real careful about saying what actually it's about.
I know, that's a tough thing. Because a lot of people are just talking about it and leaving it right out there in the open. But it's just one of those things. It's what the whole movie is about. And
yeah.
it's kind of played out like a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't want to give it away too much.
Yeah, don't go, if you're going to see it, don't go on Wikipedia, because it tells you right there.
Yeah.
Like in the first synopsis. So this is one you kind of want to go in cold. And I went in cold, not knowing. I'm like, well, this is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see how it is. I also think they do some interesting choices because it tells a story about her mom, who died when she was like
11.
11, yeah. She was very young. And her father and her relationship with her father and the relationship with her siblings, of which there are many.
I have to tell you, at some points, I felt really bad for her mom. Because, you know, she's not there to defend herself. And it pretty much goes into a lot about, she's not a very good person.
Well, but see, you know? What's interesting is it starts out as she's the most wonderful person in the world and her laugh
but
is
infectious. But she's kind of crazy and, yeah. You know, she's always in trouble somehow. And, you know, she doesn't come off very well in this movie.
I didn't think she came off that bad.
Mm.
I mean, it's not necessarily, I think it's a more honest portrayal of at least what.
Yeah.
And I think that plays into the title, Stories We Tell. It's not about what really happened.
It's true.
It's about what people say.
And it is a candid telling. I mean, they are very open and very honest about it. And I think, to me, a lot of it felt like it was a project. And she says this at one point, that she's not sure what she's going to do with this project. If she's going to keep it for herself or if she's going to make it something bigger.
Obviously, she tried to make money off of it.
Right. And I think, in a lot of ways, it feels like something that should have been just done for herself.
Yeah.
Because, and I mean, there are a lot of times that when they introduce people who are being interviewed, they do it with their first name and nothing else.
Yeah.
So you don't know if this is a sibling or a friend or what the relationship is. And it feels a little off-putting sometimes that, you know, you're trying to figure out, okay, but who are these people and how do they all work together? And it's a little bit distracting.
Well, and I think that's partly her directing style is to kind of have a hodgepodge of stuff happening and, and you don't really even know what it's about until halfway through.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way I felt with Away From Her.
Mm-hmm.
Because it kind of, you just were like, it was almost the snippets of life.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it was about, in Away From Her, it's about her
Alzheimer's.
Mom who's Alzheimer's. Yeah. And, so you're getting this, you kind of just get this background of it, and then you finally see where, here's where the plot actually comes in. So it's an interest, that's sort of her, the way she does movies.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I think that there's probably a lot of people going gaga over it, because they tend to like her.
Yeah. And I do think that that's a big part of it. And I don't know. I think she was a little obviously too attached to the subject matter.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a 2-hour documentary that could have been 70 minutes long.
Yeah.
I mean, at 70 minutes, I looked at my watch. I was like, okay, we're done now.
Okay.
And she kept going and going and going and throwing in more things and like side stories about, oh, yeah, by the way, mom was married once before, too. And then we get into this whole story about her first marriage. And there's some pretty big things going on in this first marriage. And you're like, hold on, why didn't we know this before? And it's just all of a sudden just throwing all this stuff in. And it feels a little too much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. I
think it's an interesting movie.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as great as everybody.
Oh, it's not. I don't
think
it's the greatest movie of the year.
No.
I'm sure we'll get a awards push for it.
I'm sure we will.
But yeah, I thought it was perfectly fine. I wasn't loving it, so I'm giving it a kind of rocks.
Okay.
And you said kind of sucks.
Yep.
But that's okay.
Yep.
Sorry, Sarah Polly.
Sorry.
But this is opening in, I believe it's opening, it's in Minneapolis, I think. It's opening in Minneapolis this week. It's opening It is a couple places in
slowly
Michigan.
Opening to a number of different markets through the weeks. Yep.
Some of our listeners might be able to go find it this weekend, and it'll open at other markets in a couple more weeks. It's doing that rock and roll release.
Yep.
You know, just kind of going from town to town. Kind of like Sarah Polley's mom. What?
Whoa!
What? Oh, my goodness.
That was a great connection you just made, actually.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. And now it is time for a segment we like to call...
our DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw!
Woo!
All right, let's start it off this week. It's an interesting week for movies, because there's movies from earlier this year.
Is it an interesting week, Kevin?
Well, because some...
Interesting good or interesting like the Chinese curse?
It's interesting in the sense that it should be a much more exciting week for DVDs and Blu-rays than it really is.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, could you say we got the new Die Hard movie, but...
It's true.
That was fell on very, very lukewarm, mediocre reviews.
Yeah, yeah. Or violently angry reviews.
Yes.
Also those.
Some people... I saw somebody say, who's like, oh, this is the worst. People saying After Earth is the worst. No, the worst movie of the year actually is Die... And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to defend Die Hard 5 as a great movie, but...
Yeah. It was entertaining.
It's not the worst movie ever,
no.
People.
No.
You think one thing's the worst movie. Do you want to go to your stinker first, or should we... Because
I
have
do that.
It on my list.
I can do that. My stinker of the week is Identity Thief. Seriously, I am still suffering from this movie.
You're angry about
this.
It is
so painful. Ugh. And, you know, I don't know.
You just think Melissa McCarthy's fat.
I have no problem with fat people. I am on this show.
Obviously, you spend...
I'm just saying.
...an hour in the magical studio of the sky with me every week.
It's just such a grating movie, and it just gets more grating and more grating, and it's just not funny.
No.
No. So Identity Thief is my stinker of the week.
Okay. That's
there
cool.
You go.
That's one of the big releases, though. That's like one of the headliners.
I don't care.
That's fine. I know you're entitled to it. I'm not saying, but that's why I wanted to mention it up front here. And then there's Warm Bodies, which you like too.
I
both like.
I really enjoyed it.
You loved it. If I recall, it was a full-on rocks for you.
I think it was, yeah. I did enjoy it. I like the book a little bit more.
That's right. You read the book.
But
you do that thing.
I did. I read. Yeah. I did enjoy the book a little bit more, but I thought the movie was really quite clever and fun.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It was cute. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is I don't think it's getting as big of play on video as I would have. I don't see people talking about
no.
it as much.
No. I tried to get a copy and got blown off.
Yeah.
So.
Which is odd because usually this kind of movie would be crazy big on video.
Yeah, you would think.
Every post I'm reading and people talking about watching stuff, they're talking about watching Identity Thief and A Good Day to Die Hard. Nobody's talking about Escape from Planet Earth.
Which is strange. I don't understand that
at all. This is going to crash and burn on DVD. It might do well in the kids' market. This was a surprise.
Well, and that's the thing. It's the kids.
Yeah.
Kids, really, they don't often have the most discriminating of tastes.
Kids are stupid.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying they like stuff.
Kids are dumb.
Anyway.
Escape from Planet Earth actually did well this winter.
It did. Surprisingly well.
I think there was just nothing else sort of to balance it out. There was that and The Croods were the only kids' movies.
Right.
Really, until Epic came, which I saw last week. Not a bad little movie.
There you go.
Epic's a good movie. Check that one out. It's not on DVD. It's still in the theaters. There's 12 Rounds 2, which is the much-demanded sequel.
So does that make it 24 rounds?
I thought it should have been 13 rounds.
That's true.
Like Ocean's 13?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it 12 squared? It's like 144.
Oh, my God. That'd be way too many rounds. Mm. It's actually not. It's directed by, I'm going to butcher his name, but Rene Ruhl, which is he does like all these direct-to-video garbage movies. And he's kind of a personal, like, guilty pleasure, because I think his stuff's terrible, but it's fun.
Well, there you go.
The biggest problem with this movie is the actors are awful in it. It has.
And who's in this one again?
Randy Orton plays the John Cena type character.
Okay.
And then it's all downhill through the cast list. Oh my gosh, we got about 30 seconds left.
Okay.
Other movies to talk about. We've got Breaking Bad. Well, these are TV shows. Breaking Bad Season 5 is on DVD and Blu-ray. Adventure Time is Season 2 is on there. Pretty Little Liars Season 3. My stinker of the week is Falling Skies Season 2. Do you even watch that?
Nope.
It's basically The Walking Dead with aliens.
There you go.
It's on TNT. It's awful and boring, and I want to punch somebody. I'll punch Melissa McCarthy for you. How's that sound?
There you have it.
Anyways, review wrap-up. The Purge, you gave it a preemptive suck. I said it kind of sucked. The Internship, we both give a preemptive suck. That's a contractual obligation we have with the studios. And The Stories We Tell, you said?
Kind of sucks.
And I said kind of rocks. Box Office, we'll see who wins next week. I'll declare victory. But next week we're going to talk Man of Steel. And this is the end. And now this is the end. We'll see you guys later.
See ya.